This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, we're talking about another Bears win. It wasn't pretty. Does it matter? They're 2-0, and they're on to Atlanta, a team that you just heard Charles Barkley say cost them a lot of money, choked big time. Their season's on the line. Jobs are on the line.
This will be their, obviously, I'm the master of the obvious, this will be their greatest test of the early season so far.
Yeah, and what will it be? Will it be that Mitch and the offense has to keep up with Matty Ice in their offense, or will it be that their defense has to be better, the Bears' defense, than they've been against Detroit and the Giants?
The answer is yes.
I know.
To both.
Which is it more? Is it the offense has to keep pace? Because it sure seems like in both games, Atlanta has scored points.
I mean, listen, if you truly want to be a threat and a contender, you've got to be better on both. Yeah. Like, I wasn't dismissing your criticism of the defense earlier in the show. I was focusing more, you know, kind of one of the discussion points we had today is what is your overall feeling of what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, and mine the one is, thing you take away
the
from
one
the
thing
game.
That I take away from that game is you're not going to beat better teams scoring 0 points in the second half. So offensively, the second half performance by the offense was the one thing that, listen, past the hey, they won. It's great. We all know that. We walk and chew gum here on this show. That the offense is going to have to be more consistent to get past the better teams. I think they're going to have to do both in Atlanta. You're right. They're going to have to score some points. I like this defense. Do I think they're 2018 dominant? Not right now, I don't. Can they get there? Maybe. Especially if Robert Quinn is 100% healthy and Jalen Johnson continues to improve. They may get to that point, but right now they're going to have to slow down the Falcons, and the offense is going to have to play more than a quarter or two of good football.
Yeah, here's the one question that I wanted to ask you guys, and this has to do with the big takeaway, because I was unhappy with the defense, and I'm unhappy when the money's on the table, even though that the offense needs to score more. But my highest expectation comes with the defense, and I tweeted this out. I wanted to know how it, like, 250. I was sitting there after the Bears led 17-0, and we had no complaints from the offense, and they had strung together like a 38-0 run when you looked at the fourth quarter against Detroit and the first two quarters against the Giants. Why were we sitting there, and how the F did we get here? At that point, where the Giants, with none of their offensive players there, and Danny, quote, dimes, marching them downfield on our defense with the Bears on the brink of losing. Like, I couldn't believe that, and I know they won, but, like, how did we even get to that point?
Well, and to bolster your question, guess what the time of possession was?
It was almost even, wasn't it?
No, the Bears had the football for 35 minutes. So my point is, the Giants controlled the football for 25 and a half minutes, which means the Bears' defense wasn't gassed or couldn't have been gassed because they were left on the field too long. In fact, the Bears dominated time of possession because they were so good on third down. They were 9 of 16, and they were significantly better in the first half. So I'm bolstering your question and supporting your question that they may have been tired in the second half because they didn't get themselves off the field, but the offense, in terms of time of possession, didn't leave them hanging.
Right. So, look, my point with the defense that I've brought up is whether it's 31-30 and you're winning and the other team has the ball and you're supposed to be the great team,
put them away.
You've got to make a stop. Or whether the score is 17-13 and you've only given 13 points up at that time, but yet they're driving downfield just like Detroit drove downfield last week and should have won. They beat the Bears defense last week. The Bears got lucky. Like, I've never, yes. Like, I don't remember a bigger gift for that defense in years like the one the Bears got in the opener against Detroit, because that's a touchdown.
From a wider lens, I 100% agree with you. And it's the same concept. Like, people gave me a hard time for being disappointed in the Bears defense in the playoff game. Where they lost to the Eagles, you had the double doink, And yeah, you had, I think, what did they lose, 16-15? So they held the Eagles to 15 points. But in crunch time, when you needed your most dominant aspect of your team to deliver, Nick Foles and the Eagles went down on the field. Not only got the touchdown, but they got the two-point conversion. Now, I get it. Your punter shanked, and the offense was garbage for the first 45 minutes. But you're right. I can also be critical of the defense for not stepping up and making a stop at the end of that game.
It's just like we criticize LeBron. Like, LeBron is the best player on the court. Why doesn't he, you know, like early on we would say, hey, what's his success rate in last second shots? Well, LeBron's got 30 and 10 and 9. And yet people are so, like, that's just where my expectation is with this Bears defense.
Fair.
I don't expect the Detroit Lions to beat you and march downfield. I don't expect the Giants, without Saquon Barkley for most of the game, without Sterling Shepard, to be in a position to win. I understand that the Bears offense needs to do a lot more of the heavy lifting, but still, I was very disappointed at the defense. And I want to just pick all of our fans' brain. It is a victory Monday. We did start out the 4 o'clock hour with say something nice about the Bears.
Yeah.
We went around the room, so we're mixing it up. And how you feel about this team, and I don't think I've given you results here of the poll question brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. I asked everybody to grade the Bears' performance through 2 weeks. It's only 2 weeks. We've had already 5,000 votes on this, Waddle. How do you grade the Bears after two regular season NFL games? A, B, C, or D? Obviously, they're not failing. They're 2-0. So you can't vote F. But how do you believe Bears fans are voting, and it's overwhelming?
Well, I voted. So when I voted, I saw at that time about an hour or so ago where I voted C.
Yes.
And that's where the majority of people had.
Well, over 60% of the voters going with C, 60.5% of the vote, 29.8% saying a B. 7.7% of the people give this team a D. And only 1.9% give this team an A.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to the either extreme. I wouldn't go A. I wouldn't go, like, if I'm thinking I was a C plus or a B minus is where I would have gone. But since I didn't have minuses or pluses, I went with C.
Yeah, I'm going solid C as well.
Yeah.
I just think they've been average. They've been lucky with the wins, but I'm happy with wins, so I'm not apologizing for it. But I definitely need to see better football all the way around.
By the way, buckle up, because Matty Ice has already thrown for 723 yards in two games.
I know.
And he's thrown 90 passes, and he's only been sacked 3 times. So his offensive line must be playing fairly well right now to give him time to throw it. Their defense is hideous.
Yeah, that's why I've said that they've, I think I tweeted out that they've allowed 39 points so far this year in two games.
Yeah.
So how many will the Bears score? And what will it take to beat them? That's what I mean. Like, is it more about the defense bringing him back, or is it more about now the offense have to elevating this game in their place into a track meet?
I would focus on both the same way I was disappointed in different areas of both their offense and defense, but I'll stay focused on their offense, because defensively, I don't think you can shut them down. They don't run the ball exceptionally well, but they do throw it. I don't think you're going to see the Bears hold them to 295 yards and 13 points. Maybe they will. I don't expect that. So I'm thinking they're going to have to score 24 to win this game. Even if the defense plays well.
Minimum, yeah. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number if you want to weigh in. Dennis in Northlake. Dennis, happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, same to you. I have a little demanding, a little more pressure I'd like to suggest to be put on Mr. Trubisky. I know he tries his best. He reads his book. He's a good student of the game. All those good qualities. But when it comes down to it, I think the coaches, including Nagy, the head coach, in particular, should put more of a demand on him with that, so to speak, quarterback rating that includes so many offensive areas, and put a demand on Trubisky and say, if you don't have a certain quarterback rating or average a certain quarterback rating, then we're, after 3 games, we're going to put in Mr. Foles, and I wanted to know what you guys think of that suggestion. Thank you.
I don't think you can play that ultimatum game, and I don't think it's about – I think the eye test, again – if I told you that Kyler Murray in 2 weeks had an 82 quarterback rating, what would you say to me?
Right, right.
You're crazy.
It doesn't match what your eyes are telling you.
Right. So, I mean, that's not where I would go. I think it's still about what does the eye test tell you, and it's a feel. I do agree with you. I think that the leash has grown because there have been those occasional spectacular moments. But the overall product is still not one that's probably going to get you where you need to go.
Were you surprised with the Pro Football Focus article that Sam Monson wrote? I read some excerpts earlier. The headline reads, Mitchell Trubisky's improvement makes the Chicago Bears a playoff team. It's a good read. I'll tweet it out later for everyone. And they say that he's playing his best football since 2018. Does that surprise you?
Two games in, I mean, there's... Yes, it does, because I've seen one fantastic quarter against the Lions, and I thought the first half was fabulous, but the other part of those two games, the five other quarters, was more of the same. So I don't know how that all levels out. So, I mean, I've seen some of the things I saw. Some of the things I saw in the first game watching the film were some of the things that I've always concerned about in the first 45 minutes, control in the pocket, footwork, you know, mechanics, all that stuff. And then he has some wow you moments. Yeah, that does surprise me that at this point they're that high on his improvement. But
Joe's in Portage. Hey, Joe, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. So I heard you guys just talking about the article from, I believe it was PFF. And I agree. I mean, that's true, because PFF is very analytical. So, and it tells you what part of the play did Mitch do well. Was it more was the success of it more Mitch or more of the offense or more of the receiver? But I wanted to talk about the Falcons game. You know, yesterday was way behind me. I'm already focusing as a fan on the Falcons, and they're already going to be without their starting right tackle, who got hurt yesterday. I think he. Sprained his ankle or something, or there was something significant, so I believe he'll be out that game. So I believe they'll need to score about 24 to 27 points, but that should be well enough to win this game. And as far as yesterday goes, I wanted to ask Waddle about this. You're a former wide receiver, and I had a debate about this with my buddy. That interception where the ball got into Robinson's hands,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it. As a receiver, it might have been a little bit underthrown, but I mean, when I see Hopkins and Michael Thomas and all these elite receivers, I mean, they will catch those that are 3 yards to the right, to the left, 3 yards underthrown. I mean, they will catch them, and that's why they are $20 million, $25 million receivers. So,
it's a good call. Hold on here, because Waddle, I want you to talk about it when we come back, because it was one of the hottest debates we've had with a caller on this show today. And Waddle's very opinionated on where that debate lies with Allen Robinson. Should he have caught it? Who was that on? 312-332-3776 for all your Victory Monday phone calls and Waddle's explanation, plus Marcin Greco coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Gets over there, and New York takes over.
There you go. That was the debated play earlier on the show. Some Bears fans, and some are even tweeting Allen Robinson about it.
Yeah, I've just watched it 10 times on full screen, and my conclusion is what it was before. That's a great play by the cornerback, and it happens. The ball is underthrown slightly. It's not a back shoulder throw. It's not a back shoulder throw. He's got to reach over Bradbury to make the play. Bradbury It could have been, I thought it could have been called possibly pass interference. Bradbury's back to him. He's got his left arm up in between the arms of Allen Robinson. So Allen's reaching out over top Bradbury to catch this ball. Bradbury's left arm is in there.
He never looked back for the ball either, did he?
He didn't. It was a brilliant play. And by the way, I mean, if Robinson does come down with it, it's in the completion. I mean, it's better than the alternative because it was I can't believe that Bradbury actually both wrestled the ball away and came down in bounds, because if Allen catches it, he's out of bounds. His left foot's in, his right foot's out, because Bradbury is pushing him out because Allen had to basically stop and come back for the ball. So at the end of it all, I'm not blaming Allen Robinson for that. I'm not saying that this was horrible, Mitch, either. This was a situation in professional football where the cornerback made a great play, and he gets credit for it. This wouldn't be a negative for me. If I was grading Allen Robinson, I wouldn't give him a negative.
Is it this, though, and by the way, all of our coverage brought to you by your local Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
And by the way, these great receivers that the caller talked about, they make catches, so does Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has made this catch before on an underthrown Mitch ball on the sideline.
Right.
They don't. Even DeAndre Hopkins doesn't make this catch 10 out of 10 times, especially when you have a cornerback that's skilled like Bradbury.
Right. The highlight there on CBS, Ian Eagle with the call. But it is a play, though, too, that oftentimes is underthrown, isn't it? Where, I mean, didn't this start with Randy Moss, where a lot of times Dante Culpepper wouldn't lead him? They would actually throw it short to get the wide receiver come back to the football. Oh, I'm not saying that that's what Mitch planned to do, but I'm not saying that it's always thrown in stride either. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. It's a play where you expect your quarterback and your receiver to play pitch and catch. And sometimes the opponent is the best player in the play. And on that play, Bradbury did a better job than Mitch throwing it and Allen going after it. Like I said, I'm not... What I would do is say that Bradbury gets a huge plus for the play. But I can't sit here and tell you Allen Robinson caused that. That's the degree of difficulty of that catch is 9 out of 10, maybe a 9.5 out of 10. And what Bradbury did, when you go back and look at it, his arm is between Allen Robinson's hands. So Allen kind of had it, and Bradbury, because of where his left arm was, pulled the ball away and still got himself in bounds. Stuff like that happens in the NFL with talented players. So, like, again, I'm not going to kill Mitch for it. I'm not going to kill Allen Robinson for it. What I'm going to say is that Bradbury won the play.
That's good analysis right there. Matt on 88, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matty?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Hey, as you guys are ready to rail on the Bears defense for this game, I want to remind you that of the 13 points the Giants got, 6 of them were off of turnovers. One of them on the Bears' 25-yard line. So I will hang up and let you apologize to the Monsters of the Midway.
Look, I have a high bar for them. I don't expect them to give up a 95-yard drive. I don't expect them to give up a game-winning drive to Detroit. I don't expect them to let Danny Dimes drive down the field with the game on the line. And I want a play being made. And look, Eddie Jackson almost made that play. It was bang-bang. He obviously, in slow motion, got there too early.
The call was right. It was an interference call.
Yes, the call was right. Yeah. Matt Nagy let the officials have it.
He did.
What was he just saying? That should be a no call? That shouldn't? It's too close?
Speaking as a former receiver, like when contact is made before the ball gets there, it completely adjusts your body. Like he it was a close call, but the receiver, I think it was Ingram, had no chance to catch it because Eddie Jackson's contact completely took his arm and his shoulder and threw it across his body with the contact. So, listen, it's another play where you say to Eddie Jackson's just being aggressive. Like, if you're Chuck Pagano, you're not killing Eddie for that. What you're saying is you know what, next time, you're going to make that play and it's not going to get called.
Chip in Villa Park. Hey, Chip, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. Hey, listen, I was just going to talk about the grading you were giving about the Bears and the C as a grade. The problem I have is I'm looking at this football team right now, and I know that you're kind of down on the defense, Sylvie, and I think there is need for improvement there. But I still think that their resume if push came to shove and you needed to win the game, I have more confidence in the defense to get it done. And I was trying to think of the last time that the offense for the Bears played at a level that overcame a bad defense throughout the game to win the game. And I don't mean a quarter where Mitch looked good or, hey, they played the first half good yesterday. I'm looking for where the offense played at a level like Atlanta putting up 30-some-odd points, but then the defense completely falls apart. And you can look at the defense and blame them for a game. I have no confidence really in the offense to do that. And I think that's the biggest problem I have when, we criticize a defense and they need to play better. I think the offense has got to play a heck of a lot better, and they've got to show that they are a competent NFL offense that can put 24 points, maybe 30 points up on the board, more, you know, or a threat to do so more often than not. I think the defense still gets asked to do far too much, and I don't think they deserve all the criticism or more criticism that they've been getting because of what's happened.
I agree with what you're saying, Chip. I think that, like, again, this is a nuanced conversation. At the end of the day, the Bears gave up 295 yards, 13 points. They had 4 sacks and 2 takeaways. That's fantastic. If you do that every Sunday, you're going to win many more than you lose. It was a Giants team that was without Sterling Shepard. They were without Saquon Barkley, and they'd had a 90-yard touchdown drive earlier in the quarter. I get why, where the bar is so high for this defense, that when you see that happen, you're not happy with it. But I also agree, if the offense doesn't throw a goose egg at you, the defense isn't left in that situation.
I'm not saying, like, of course I would say that the defense gets it done more, that the defense is where the bread is buttered, that the defense is where I put all my hope in compared to the offense. That's why I'm saying that I'm being critical of them. I expect better from them. I think the only game I see all last year where, like, the offense carried the load for a game, maybe the Dallas game last year?
I think so.
The entire year, and I'm trying to look back, in 2018, didn't they win most of their games because of the defense?
Yes, short fields.
Tampa was a big offensive game, but the defense was great too.
Last year, they won the Washington game. They won 31-15.
Yeah, the defense was good, though.
In the Dallas game, they were 31-24. Outside of that, in their other wins, they scored 21. They scored 24 against Detroit, 19 against the Giants, 20 in the other game against Detroit, 16 against the Vikings, and 16 against Denver.
Yeah. We'll see what Marky thinks. Mark Gene Greco will be in the First Midwest Bank studio. If you'd like to talk to him or us, 312-332-3776.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Time for Mark Gene Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Joins us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, whip it good.
A victory dinner tonight.
Yeah.
What would you have tonight? What would you have tonight if you were celebrating a Bears victory Monday?
Well, the way they won again, it probably just maybe...
Rabbit's foot? You having rabbit's foot?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
I don't think Flom serves that these days.
With like a cup of maybe, you know, lukewarm soup and just sip it.
No, we don't do that. No, we do it big over there. We'd be a bone-in filet and a big bottle of red.
Rabbit's foot would be good. God, I'm so sick of this. It's the same thing every weekend. Every single weekend.
Hey,
we won. We'll take it. No, you suck. Okay?
Wow. Jeez. We didn't even go that far.
It's okay, Mitch. Decent first half. Okay. Play calling not too bad. Even though today, Nagy admits, I wish I had a couple of those plays.
Well, I think that final drive on third and fourth down, that was the only part of the game plan to me that was.
But then take your foot off the gas against another self-destructing also ran.
Let me ask you a question. I've heard that theory. Did they really take their foot off the gas, or did the offense just not execute in the second half?
The offense did not execute, but the play calling got very conservative. Okay, so, and then that last play of the game, I understand Tate made initial contact. That was like a bam-bam. You could almost have called defensive pass interference. I mean, it was so close. Once again, they came so close to going 0-2. It's unreal. It really is unbelievable. Now,
we'll take it.
See, I hate that.
Okay, well, but see, this is what we say. We walk and chew gum. We accept it, but we also acknowledge the
concern. It's better than being Philadelphia, Mark.
Wow.
They're 0-2, and they have big problems.
Carson Wentz is just backpedaling. He's degressing. But look, you're right. I'm being somewhat facetious here. I guess I can't keep saying they're playing a lousy team and they're barely beating them because the NFL, especially this year, is made up of a lot of lousy teams.
Yes.
There are only a few good teams, no preseason, truncated training camp. Okay, I get it. But still, this guy, to me, is never just going to suddenly get it and break out. It's going to be one step forward and two steps back every weekend until you get another quarterback.
Or one step forward, a step sideways, another step sideways, yeah. One step back, a step forward. You just...
And two steps forward, trip, fumble. How about that?
I think it's an interesting question. Like, do you still, Sylvie, do you hold out hope that at some point, Mitch, it will all click and he'll be a four-quarter guy?
It's not a 0% thing. But I'm not
5%?
Like, I would.
10%?
Like a 1 in 5. Give me 20%.
Really? 20%?
Oh, wow. I mean, give me, like, you never, no, you know.
Give
but
me,
no,
give
I,
me,
I,
come on, give me.
10.
You know, I'm not trying to placate people. I'm just saying that there have been signs that, like you said, Waddle, maybe he can he get into the average tier?
Well, can I just repeat? Repeat what you said last week, Tommy? Joe Burrow's eye test, boom, two games, he belongs. He's going to be a star. He's a stud. We're in year four.
Well, he'll have
what
some
about
bumps.
Herbert?
They all do. They all have
Herbert
bumps.
Looked tremendous yesterday for the Chargers.
That's
poised,
thing.
Big tough guy.
There'll be bad moments for him. I mean, like they all. This is what happens. You can have guys that come out and they wow you, then they hit a valley. Then who do they become? Because none of these quarterbacks are going to have a straight line, unless you're Patrick Mahomes. And even he didn't, his first year, didn't even play.
But Mitch should be at least close to Josh Allen, who is just kicking butt now. 417, four touchdowns, ran over three DBs. I mean, the guy's a monster. He's what everybody thinks Mitch is supposed to be or is going to be or they want him to be. Yes, Allen still has accuracy issues, but he's so much farther along. It's just...
I wasn't an Allen guy last year.
I know you weren't.
But so far this year in a couple of games, I mean, this is his third year. He looks good.
He's got 729 yards in two games.
Here's my food analogy. We were talking about food. Like, what would you have to celebrate this victory Monday?
Mm-hmm.
This is breakfast for dinner. Breakfast for dinner every now and then is good. Like,
no, it's
we
not.
Yes,
bowl
it is.
Bowl of cereal at dinner means you're homesick
not
and
just
you're broke.
Bowl of cereal. You can make some pancakes.
It means
you can
you're
make
in
some
college.
Waffles. Put,
you got
put
mono,
some bacon
you're in,
on the grill.
You got mono. You're in college. You don't have any money. You're
when
eating.
You were a kid, Mark.
And you're
you
a quarterback for the Jets.
Once every blue moon, breakfast for dinner works. So I can live with saying,
maybe it's
all
a
right,
big slab of bacon and some eggs. Maybe.
I don't want it every week. I don't want it every week. But I won't scoff at breakfast for dinner every now
right
and then.
Right now, though, I don't think I'm ever going to have to take the crow out of the refrigerator, heat it up, and eat it.
See, maybe this is all because of your bills. Are you just so...
No. This has, I make the separation. This has nothing to do with that. We're specifically talking about the Bears and the Bears only. And it's just the same story over again.
It is. I mean, like I said, it's you'll see things that the people are ardent supporters will look at, like the first half. He was excellent. He read mm-hmm. through his progressions. The ball that Anthony Miller dropped was maybe his best throw of the day. And then in the second half, they score 0 points against a bad Giants defense. I mean,
it's that same old guys, because this is the first time they're 2-0 since 2013.
Records don't say who you are, and despite what
well,
Bill Parcells once
that tells,
said. Bill Parcells saying you are what your record is. Obviously, that's not true. Look at the Bears. Do they look like a 2-0 team? Do they look like the Cardinals? Do they look like the Bills? Do they look like the Chiefs? You know, do they look like the Saints? No.
But that doesn't mean they can't get there, does it?
Yes.
So you have
it
no hope.
It means they cannot get there.
You're telling us move on to the Bulls and Hawks? What are you telling us, Mark?
We're going to stay with NFL football because we love it. We're obsessed with it. We're addicted to it. And we're just going to bitch and moan for 14 more weeks.
This is the way I look at it. if you play the way that they play, both on offense and defense, but specifically on offense against better teams, you are not going to get to where you need to go. You don't get to play the Lions, who were the 31st-ranked defense last year, and then were without their three top corners in the final quarter of that game. The Giants last year were 26th or 27th in most statistical categories on defense. It's going to get progressively more difficult. My hope is that as it becomes more difficult, they become more efficient and the improvement happens. Am I holding my breath? No, but I'm hoping, like I'm with Sylvie, I'm hoping that as the season goes on, as the level of difficulty for the opponents goes up, that the progress will be there. But I'm not going to hold my breath because I feel like I've been in this movie before.
I hear you're a positive, objective guy. Now, here are two other issues. I agree with the caller, Chip, who was just on the phone when I walked in here. Yeah, the defense doesn't deserve all the criticism it's getting because it's out there a long time. They still haven't gelled, though. They deserve their share of criticism. And I hope Anthony Miller doesn't become a Mitch situation where we see flashes of absolute brilliance and then a step backwards, dropping a pass, dropping this, not running the right route, that kind of stuff. So, you know, a lot of things to rehash every Monday. And, you know, Matt today pretty much admitted all the things we're saying.
Yeah.
We can't do this, we can't do that. Yeah, well, let's not do it.
What do you guys think they do in their next three games? So they go to Atlanta.
That's interesting because the Atlanta Falcons are a team that's long been full of talent and now famous for blowing big leads. I mean, there is a culture there that's got to be so infected. I feel so bad for Matt Ryan. His name is never included in top five quarterbacks, and it always should be because of his stats, because that team lets down its fans more than anybody. I mean, that little whirly bird squib onside kick.
No one did anything. Yeah,
everybody's going to use that now. But the thing is,
no, they won't, because no one will react the way that the Falcons did.
Atlanta just stood there and looked at it. I thought Greeny earlier today driving in said it best. It was like a third baseman waiting for a ball to go foul.
Right, a little punt down the line.
Yeah, so it was just, you know what? I understand being flustered as a coach, but how do you not know that as an NFL player?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. To answer your question, though, Sylvie,
They've got Atlanta on the road, Colts, at home against the Colts, and then at home against the
Broncos on the
Buccaneers.
On a short week.
Yes.
The way I'd answer your question is they've been who I expected them to be. They have not gotten outside of what I thought. I thought they'd beat the Lions. I thought they'd beat the Giants. I didn't think that. I picked them to be an 8-8, 9-7 team, somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7. How they won those two games, I'm not horribly surprised. So I'm going to stick with who I thought they were when the season began. I think I picked them to lose to the Falcons. I think it's a tough spot for them. Mm-hmm. Falcons go on the road to play the Green Bay Packers next week. So, like, they don't want to. I mean, they're going to be focused. Otherwise, they're going to be 0-4.
The Bucs seem to be getting it together with Brady's finally connecting with Evans, and things are working. They dropped three touchdown passes yesterday.
I think they'll beat the Colts, and I think they'll lose to the Bucs. So
you
at
think
the end
they'll
of
beat
five
the
games,
Colts, really?
Yeah, I think they will. So
Colts are up and down.
Yeah, Colts looked pretty good yesterday.
I
get that.
I think before the season kicked off, I had them at 3-2 at the 5-game mark, and that's where I'm going to stay.
Mark's got them losing the rest of the games all year.
No, I came out 7-9 when you quizzed me last week.
You're still at 7-9.
Yeah. Well,
so that means they go what, 5-9 the rest of the way?
Because they're going to play teams that play very poorly. Wow. They're going to play bad teams.
Answer your own question. What do you think they do the next three games?
I think 1-2. I'm with you on the one. I don't know which one they win. I don't think it's this weekend. To tell you the truth, I jumped on the DraftKings app yesterday when I saw them as a 3-point dog, and I hopped on the Falcons because I thought there would be no way that the Falcons would stay as a 3-point favorite. And sure enough, the Falcons are up to 3.5 now.
Really?
So when I saw it at three last night, I'm like, oh boy, that's a desperate team.
Yeah.
And a must win, and the Bears have to go on the road and
with
they haven't
some firepower.
Wowed anybody.
They have plenty of firepower and flesh. Dan Quinn's job is on the line this game. You don't beat the Bears, you're done.
You may be right on that, Mark. So Victory Monday, true Victory Monday style is Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Check them out today. LaSalle and the River, David Flom and Matty Moore do it as good as anybody in this city and in the country.
So next Monday we want steaks. We don't want oatmeal dripping down
their face. Yeah, we don't want breakfast for dinner. We need a win on the road in Atlanta. And then the Bears deserve Chicago Cut Steakhouse. More with Markey coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Gene Greco's in the First Midwest Bank studio, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
You know what he did, Sylvie, at the break? He admitted the Patriots are scaring him right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after last night, what a fabulous game. And, yeah, you know, you have to acknowledge Belichick can coach Newton. That's a deadly combination. And they went to the well one too many times with Newton running from the shotgun. But as Tommy and I were just saying, if he just would have popped it outside toward the sideline and let that blocking back go down and take out the corner.
He should have used the sideline as his advantage. But with that said, that cornerback made a great play. It's just like the Allen Robinson play. The other guy gets paid, and sometimes those guys make better plays than you make.
He read it and took off.
It was a great play.
Almost early. He was almost offside.
He's a backup, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they just put him in the game. And Jamal Adams is a one-man wrecking crew.
He's great.
He has changed the whole complexion of that Seattle defense.
Yeah, he's good.
He made every major stop in that game. So, anyway, yeah, it's not a given the Bills are going to win that division at all.
And it doesn't hurt to have a guy who could be the MVP throw 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. He's so good.
He does throw the greatest deep ball. Drop it down right in your hands, Tommy.
Yeah. The pass to Carson in the end zone was a wild. I had 2 wild moments yesterday watching football. The pass that Mahomes made on the run, and he dropped a dime just perfectly to Tyreek Hill. For the touchdown.
How about the two-point conversion?
60 yards.
The two-point conversion when he was rolling right and threw it against his body at the goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Incredible.
Well, here's 2 other things. Akeem Hicks took his helmet off after making a great play, and then Tyreek Hill took his helmet off after scoring a touchdown. No flags at all.
No flag. That used to be the automatic penalty.
Yeah.
And then the Carson pass, just the height he got on that ball. And I'm like, whoa, where's that going? And then right into the hands.
Yeah, it was like he was getting cocky. It was wide open. I'm just going to lob it up there.
So beautiful.
Just for a little drama.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Colin in Kankakee wants to talk to you guys. Hey, Colin, you're on ESPN 1000.
First off, Sylvie Strong, good luck there, my friend.
Thanks, Colin.
I was curious on the consistency of the DPI calls. So on the Bradbury Robinson play, that guy does not look at the ball at all. It's the definition of face guarding. He clearly makes contact with Allen Robinson. I don't understand how that's not DPI. And contrasting the Eddie Jackson play with the Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl, where is the line between playing the ball and hitting the receiver early? Those two plays, it didn't seem like the rules are enforced consistently there on those two plays.
Well, the whole face guarding thing is not really a thing anymore. Like, if you make contact, whether you're looking at the ball or not, they're going to call it. Like, if you're turning and running and you don't make contact, or you don't make contact until the ball arrives. I said when I was looking over it, there was a chance they could have thrown a flag. It was really close. But
I think Bradbury made a spectacular play. He slid his arm up Robinson's chest, and he did not turn his head back toward the ball, but sensed it coming and just scooped it away from him.
Yeah, it was incredible.
A-Rob deserves absolutely zero criticism for not bringing that down. That was a fabulous play by the defensive back. Jackson came early. That was a penalty. Yeah.
But he's right there. You know, without them replaying penalties these days, I could have easily seen them letting that go and not throwing the flag. With the benefit of hindsight, it was a penalty.
Like, what if you, like, I think he was also suggesting, and I've heard other Bears fans say, doesn't he have the right to the football as well?
He does, but he can't knock
the
other guy away from it.
You can't go through the receiver to get it. And again, the last play of the game.
If you hit it the same time, I mean, like, if the ball comes in and you hit it the same time, that's two guys fighting for the football. But if he's going for the ball and knocks the other guy out of the way,
that's pretty obvious.
That's, you can't hit him before the ball arrives.
Yeah. Markey, anything else from the weekend stand out to you?
You know, I just don't like the way the Cubs and Sox are stumbling into the postseason now. Sox are already down 3-0. Dunning gives up a 3-run shot. The Cubs with this whole Kyle Schwarber thing. Why does Rossi all of a sudden have to go badass and bench Kyle Schwarber. I don't think he was dogging it. He was waving at it because he knew he couldn't get to it. Maybe he didn't take a good path to that ball.
Schwarber back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, but why would you bench him when Javi dogs it out of the batter's box? Sometimes nothing happens.
Well, Schwarber's batting 190 as well.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, as a manager, I get it. You treat everybody differently. But
and he knows him
that,
well.
That kind of bothered me. That kind of bothered me a little bit.
Maybe he knows this is what he needed.
I don't need the psychology of light a fire under his butt. I mean,
Mr. Psychology over here to my left.
Exactly. You know, I've been a patient. I haven't been the doctor. Right. So,
hey, the baseball show? Is the baseball show coming up?
Yes, and Bleck's back to do
the
show.
He doesn't like football.
Is Adam still on the baseball show?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, nothing.
Got a problem?
He's taking a bunch of shots today, Abdallah.
Yeah, that's true. He's a little salty today. Mark's a little extra salty.
It's Monday,
salty.
You know, I'm all cranked up.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday I'll be fine, and then Friday I'll be all cranked up again.
Nice.
Because it's the weekend. That's
we'll
how
see
goes.
You then on Wednesday, okay?
Yeah, just check the biorhythms. We'll see.
So we've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. It's the baseball show. They'll continue to take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Marky, the only guest we needed today, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. He's not even really a guest. Thanks to Abdallah. Great job filling in for Bleck today from Eric Ostrowski. Again, the baseball show in 2 minutes. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
Instant classic!
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.